This is CKMS Radio Waterloo, 102.7 FM, and you are listening to From the Void with me, Christopher Sharon. It's good to see you in the void again tonight. So tonight, I'm going to do something I've done once or twice before, I think, on my show. When it gets close to my birthday, I like to celebrate it by doing a show featuring a bunch of musicians who share the same astrological sign that I do, which is the Pisces. And it's, for me, it's not hard to pick some out because, you know, some of my favorite musicians are Pisces, like Billy Corgan and David Gilmour. You know, we got like George Benson, Tony Iommi, you know, Kurt Cobain, Johnny Cash. A whole bunch of them have been there, right? And if I go digging, there's a lot more, you know, but I can only play so many. So tonight I picked out a handful of songs, mostly by the musicians I just mentioned. And I'm going to play a Death by Design song tonight, since I'm also Pisces. And I have a new album coming out this week. It's the, I don't know what you call it, the sequel, I guess, or it's the two-part, the second part of the series of albums I'm working on, which I originally planned to be a three-part thing, and I imagine it's going to be four or five. It might just be something I add to as time goes on. I've already recorded the third album for it. Now I just got to finish mixing it and mastering. Actually, well, I shouldn't say that. The mixing and mastering for this next record is going to be done by Perry, you know, the guy that I've interviewed on my show, and he interviewed me. I have a podcast with him. So he mastered the song I'm going to play tonight. He mixed another song on the record, not this one, though. But either way, it's exciting. And I'm looking forward to where this takes my sound as a musician and frees me up a little bit, because I spend a lot of my time finishing my mixes, and I struggle to get there. And to be honest with you, last year or so, I'm really happy with my mixes, but I still struggle with the time getting there and whatnot. You know, and I can still mix if I like, but it's going to be, I'm going to let Perry mix and produce a little bit too, so let him make some judgment calls here and there too about what should or shouldn't be there. Either way, it's going to be a lot of fun. But to start the show off, we're going to go with a musician who is admired by almost every prog rock musician that's come since the origin of prog rock. We're going to talk about Chris Squire, another Pisces, the bass player from the band Yes. And Chris Squire's most well-known bass part has got to be Roundabout off of The Fragile. Or Fragile. Is it The Fragile or Fragile? Either way, Roundabout. The first track on the record, it's just a killer bass lick. It's a cool song, too. You know, it's one of those great collaborative records or efforts that was written by the whole band. They were driving through Scotland, and I guess they went through something like 40 roundabouts, and they found that kind of funny. And John Anderson, the singer and lyricist, he'd been smoking marijuana, so he was like in a really good mood, I guess, which wasn't like him, apparently. So he was stoned, and they were... I guess the scenery was beautiful, so they're singing about what they were experiencing, you know, and they were they were young and up and coming, right? The Fragile was probably their biggest record, so they were yet to release their biggest record. Anyway, can't talk too much because I got a lot of music I want to play. So this is Roundabout by Yes, featuring fellow Pisces, Chris Squire. Thank you.
Mountains come out of the sky. They stand there. 24 before my love, I'll be there.
Another Pisces musician who is featured extensively in my record collection, and if you're going to be hanging out at my place on a Saturday night for a long night of record listening, it wouldn't be uncommon for this one to be put in there, especially if I was hanging out with some friends that normally weren't there, and they kind of, I wanted to surprise them with something they probably never heard before, and we're going to enjoy thoroughly. We're talking George Benson, and George Benson is probably my favorite jazz guitar player. There might be somebody else in there that I just can't think of at the moment, but George Benson is like the king of jazz guitar. He's a legend. He's a child prodigy, and he was clearly heavily influenced by Wes Montgomery and that style of guitar. He even copied Wes Montgomery. Same record label, same arrangers and producers, similar album cover layouts. Even covered the Beatles, the whole Beatles cover album, just like Wes Montgomery. I'm going to play a cover right now. This is a cover of a composition, a track called White Rabbit, often credited as a Jefferson Airplane song, but the song was written before she was a member of Jefferson Airplane. Actually, as far as I understand it, they asked her to join the band mostly because of the song. And George Benson puts a lovely spin on it with some beautiful Don Sobieski arrangements. And I gotta say, George Benson apparently is not doing so hot. He had to cancel his tour due to health. He's gonna be turning 81 in a couple weeks. So hopefully George is around for a little bit longer and keeps bringing us the magic. Again, this is White Rabbit off of the album White Rabbit by George Washington Benson. Thank you. I forgot to mention, that also featured Herbie Hancock on piano and Billy Cobham on drums, Ethel Mori Era on percussion, and of course, George on guitar. So up next, we're going to go with probably the most famous Pisces we're going to play tonight, I think. Yeah, it's got to be. Maybe not, I don't know. He's up there. David Gilmour, Pink Floyd. He just turned 80, I think, or something. Last week, March 6th. And I'm going to play a track off of one of his solo records. We're not going to do Pink Floyd. We're going to do his track called The Blue off of his record On an Island. This was a wonderful record. Dave Gilmour's first solo record that came out between Animals and The Wall was pretty good. It sounded like a quarter of Pink Floyd. You know, you could hear all the missing parts. And then he had a second album in the 80s with that guitar player from The Who, Pete Townshend. And it's terrible. I can't stand the record. It just sounds like a bunch of lazy studio tricks and lots of cocaine, probably. And then there wasn't really a solo record for a long time. There was a couple of Pink Floyd records after that that were basically Dave Gilmour solo records. But then, kind of out of nowhere, he dropped this record in 2005, I think it was, 2006. I was in college. Called On an Island. And it was, to me, finally, a proper Dave Gilmour solo record. He's only released one since, and I'm pretty sure he's about to release another. And they kind of have their own distinct thing. And they aren't as good as Pink Floyd, but they're different. And the guitar work is amazing. This song here has got some of the best guitar I have ever heard. It's spine-tingling. It's just perfect. So this is The Blue off of On an Island by David Gilmour.
Midnight moon shines for you.
Next, we're going with Billy Corgan. We're going to play a Smashing Pumpkins tune. It didn't really occur to me to play a Billy Corgan solo track. Not that they're, you know, actually that probably isn't any I'd really want to play anyway. I've listened to a few of his solo records and I can barely get through them. And people adore them. And I don't get it, but that's okay. I'm going to try again and probably again. And eventually it might happen. Maybe it won't. But Smashing Pumpkins, we're going to go back to their first record. The first record, Gish. Now, it doesn't get talked about that much because their second and third record were so stratospherically successful that, you know, the Gish just kind of gets underwhelmed. It didn't sell well. I mean, it hit the Billboard charts, like 195 or something like that. You know, and it was like this debut record that doesn't really belong in the debut category. A lot of bands have great debut records, especially bands with big budgets, but this really wasn't one of those bands. Now, they were on a major record label at the time. I think it was Virgin Records. Or no, Caroline at this point. And Caroline had given them $20,000 to make this record. So, I mean, that's a big budget for a band like the Smashing Pumpkins in 1990 making their first record. But it was a pretty small budget. But it involved Butch Vig, who's now a famous producer, wasn't well known at the time. And then Billy Corgan just wanted to get his teeth into it. And he was willing to put in the work. And he was trying to capture everything like that was influencing him, right? He was big into The Cure and Suzette and the Banshees and My Bloody Valentine, Pink Floyd and Black Sabbath and the Beatles. He wanted to make a beautiful psychedelic record, you know, and even practicing his guitar playing and trying to get really precise. He was taking LSD just to get the psychedelic feeling, to get the confidence to attempt these kind of weird tightrope kind of music he would kind of describe it as. And it's a wonderful record. It's an amazing record. I don't listen to it enough. I should listen to it more. And I'm going to probably play one of the most well-known songs off the record. It's called Rhinoceros. And it's beautiful. It's the blueprint for every good Smashing Pumpkins song that's ever come since that's on the easy listening side of the Pumpkins sound. Again, this is Rhinoceros off of their debut record, Gish.
Thank you.
Up next, we're going to go with a track by a guy who was a drummer for Nine Inch Nails back on the Broken EP and the Downward Spiral, which is also a Pisces. The Downward Spiral just turned 30 last week. But I don't count the creation of music as being a Pisces thing. But I guess I could play that album if I wanted, since there was a Pisces drumming on it. We're talking about Chris Vrenna. His solo project is called Tweaker. I'm going to play a track off Tweaker. Now, Tweaker's first record, I bought when it came out. I was in college at that time as well. I bought it solely because the album cover looked cool. I knew he was a member of Nine Inch Nails at one time. And I loved the record. I loved everything in it. The David Sylvian Linoleum track, which was the single, I think, off of there. But this track here is a collaboration with another Pisces, a guy named Buzz Osborne from the Melvins, the band that kind of invented that sound that the Pumpkins kind of jumped into and grabbed, and Nirvana and whatnot, the grunge thing, the stoner rock kind of deal. Anyway, this is Swamp off of All Things Uncertain by Tweaker featuring Buzz Osborne. We'll be right back. Up next, we're going to go with the Riffmaster, the most influential metal musician to ever hold a guitar, Tony Iommi. Now, this one was hard for me to pick a good Black Sabbath riff I haven't already played. I don't play a lot of Black Sabbath, but I do love Black Sabbath. And I wasn't sure if I should go bone-crunching heavy or beautiful, you know, because the beautiful stuff kind of goes underappreciated. But that's not what Tony's known for. He's known to be just riffing on his guitar like nobody else. He invented that style of music, like that a song that this has no chords. It's just guitar riffs all the way through. You know, bands like Tool couldn't exist without that. The Tool's all riffs. So I decided I wanted to go with a track off of their album Volume 4. So I didn't want to go off with something off one of the first three records. That just seemed too obvious. I went with the final track, the closing track off Volume 4, called Under the Sun. And it features the slow, brooding Tony Iommi at his most annihilating. We'll be right back. time again. So the next time you hear from me, I'm going to be 40 years old. It's a number that's kind of hung over my head since I was a child. You know, I remember my dad turning 40, and that was like the birthday that a lot of people celebrated. I remember like 30 didn't seem to be a big deal from the adults. I remember when I was a kid, even though I was pretty young when all the adults were turning 30. You know, and same with my own friends. There was a few of them that seemed to make 30 a big deal, but, you know, the birthdays seemed to be, after like 18 or 20, they kind of just bleed in together, you know? But as you approach 40, you realize that's, you're starting to hit like an age that can be worrisome, you know? You're feeling pains here and there. Your eyes are starting to go. You're going to visit the doctor more often for no reason other than to check your blood pressure and stuff, and, you know? But, you know, it's also a time in life when things get a little more comfortable, right? You smarten up a bit. Make sure you wear a good pair of shoes and you got a nice mattress, you know, and a nice office chair. And you have a nice synthesizer because you've been saving for them and you realize it's worth buying yourself a good synth at some point. You know, you have your own recording studio because you've been building it your whole life. Things, you know, get a little nicer. Anyway, I'm going to play a new Death by Design track. Also, the next time you hear me, this album will be available everywhere. YouTube, iTunes, wherever, Bandcamp. Pick it up at Bandcamp if you want to buy it. The track is called Hear the Future. Love from the Void.
Yeah.